This is Jack, and would like to speak to you from God's holy word, and we desire your prayers throughout this message. And if you would get your Bibles and follow along with us, and you can be turning there as I talk. Our scripture today comes from the book of John, John the 8th chapter and the 32nd verse. And the word of God reads in the scripture in John 8 and 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Did you know that children don't have to be taught to lie? Lying is as natural in a child as breathing. To me, that is the most telling aspect of man's total depravity, that you don't have to teach children to lie, but you do have to teach them to tell the truth. In years past, the truth was in a man's word or his handshake. Now, even with a signed contract, you can't get the truth out of people. They will go to great lengths to break their word if it suits them better. What is it that makes something valuable? Why is gold valuable? Why is silver valuable? Why are rare gems valuable? It's because there is a very limited amount of them. The less there is of something, the more valuable it is. By that principle, truth has to be the most valuable thing in the universe because it is so rare these days. Gold, silver, and rare gems are also valuable because they're pure. By that standard, truth is valuable because it is 100% pure. Truth is pure without contamination. Truth has, now listen to me, truth is pure. It's without contamination. Truth has no outside influence. It stands on its own. It needs nothing added to it. The Old Testament refers to the Almighty as the God of truth. Therefore, truth must be that which is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. Truth is a self-expression of God. The one sure source of truth is the Bible, the infallible, inspired Word of God. We can be assured that 100% of the Bible is pure truth. In praying to His Heavenly Father on behalf of His disciples, Jesus said in John 17 and 17, "Sanctify them by your truth." Your word is truth. 1 Peter 1 and 23 says that the word of God, which is truth, liveth and abideth forever. Any thought, belief, theology, or doctrine that does not harmonize with what has been inspired by God, spoken by the sovereign God of the universe, or His beloved Son, is not truth. Truth is the exact opposite of a lie. A lie is impure. A lie has outside influences that infiltrate the truth. Outside forces corrupt and commingle with the truth to make it a lie. A lie adds or subtracts something from the truth to make it a lie. A lie cannot stand on its own. It must begin with some outside source. For example, a lie begins with the truth, and it twists the truth by adding or taking something away to corrupt the truth. A lie never has its own foundation. It always begins with the truth, and it takes the truth and distorts it. For example, Satan, who is the father of lies, approached Eve in the garden with his own version of the truth. In Genesis 3 and 2, Satan asked Eve, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Eve explained that God said they would surely die if they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan tells Eve in Genesis 3, 4 and 5, "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing both good and evil." Satan's lie is a contradiction of God's truth. Jesus says of Satan in John 8 and 44, "He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." God is truth. Satan is a liar. That is the essence of spiritual warfare. It's the good versus evil battle that rages everywhere in the world today. How difficult is it to find someone you can depend on to always tell you the truth? I know people who will go out of their way to lie when it's a lot easier to tell the truth. I know people who will look you in the eye and lie knowing that you are aware that they are lying. Deceit and dishonesty penetrate all aspects of our society. Romans 3 and 4 states, Let God be true and every man a liar. The natural man does not desire the truth. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The things of God, those things which are truth, are foolishness to the natural man. He cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. And natural man is spiritually dead. If man desires the truth, it is because he has been awakened, brought to life by Christ, who is the life. Those who have been given the desire to know the truth must search the Scriptures. The Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of Jesus' day, thought they had the truth. They thought that they knew the Scriptures and that the Scriptures assured them of eternal life by virtue of their being Jews. Jesus said to the Pharisees in John 5 and 37, And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures. That's what I said. Search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The Pharisees did not believe Jesus was the Son of God. But Jesus told them in verse 46, For had you believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? All true Scripture reveals Christ. Moses wrote of Christ, but the Pharisees could not see the truth. They were blinded. Paul and Silas were sent to Berea to preach in the synagogue of the Jews. The Bible says in Acts 17 and 11, Now listen to what it says. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Paul preached, and the Bereans searched the Scriptures to make sure what he was preaching was the truth. Much of the theology man teaches today is partial truth from the Scriptures mixed with man's lies. Too many people today are ignorant of the Scriptures. They are like the Sadducees in Jesus' day. As the Sadducees were very religious, like the Pharisees, but they did not believe in the resurrection. When they questioned Jesus in Matthew 22, Jesus told them, Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. That's the problem today. First, people don't know the Scriptures. What searching they do is to find a phrase or part of a verse that proves what they have decided that they want to believe. For example, most people believe that when Jesus said, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, that he meant anyone. And they think that he meant anyone can come to Jesus at any time and Jesus will receive him with open arms. But listen to what the verse says. Those who believe that this is the truth haven't searched the Scriptures. They're quoting half of a verse to prove a doctrine that they want to believe. What Jesus actually said is in John 6 and 37. All the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Does that not make a difference? It's in the Bible. Those the Father has given to the Son will come to him, and he will not cast a single one of them out. Jesus continues in John 6 and 39, And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Jesus himself teaches that those the Father has given him will come to him, and of those the Father has given him, he will lose none. He says again in verse 44, No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. These verses are in direct contradiction to what most people want to believe. Most people want to believe that anyone can come to Christ anytime, and he will not cast them out. People don't search the Scriptures for the truth. Out of ignorance and error, they search the Scriptures for what they have already decided that they want to believe. In addition to searching the Scriptures for the truth, man must have knowledge of the truth revealed to him. Men have used a lot of scripture to prove false doctrine, but the truth must be by revelation. I've talked to a lot of people in the last few years who told me they thought they were saved at a young age, but later on they realized they weren't saved after all. What made them think they were saved? Some say they were pressured by family or a pastor or a Sunday school teacher to get saved. Some walked down the aisle and accepted Jesus because that's what their friends were doing. All these people were part of a deception that has been going on in our churches for the past 150 years. People have been led to believe that they can know Christ simply by deciding to allow him to dwell in their hearts. Jesus said in Matthew, listen to what the scripture says, in Matthew 11 and 27, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." That's pretty clear. No one knows the Son but the Father, and no one knows the Father but the Son. If you know either, it is by revelation. That is as clear can be. No one can know God unless the Son reveals him. Therefore, salvation is just like the scripture teaches. It is by grace through election of a people who were given to the Son before the foundation of the world. God's choosing and God's timing and God's drawing power. The Son will call his sheep, and they will hear his life-giving voice and come to him. Man has no part in his salvation. There is no accepting or rejecting, no decision to make on man's part. Salvation is of the Lord. That's scripture, brothers and sisters. If there is anything that man must do, if he must make a decision to accept or reject, then salvation is not by grace. It is by the work of man. And that if that's what you are proclaiming, then quit singing Amazing Grace, because it's not amazing to you. In today's text, Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And just four verses later, Jesus says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and only Jesus can set you free. But the truth must be revealed. It must be revealed. It comes by revelation. No one knows the Son but the Father, and no one knows the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Knowing Christ is knowing the truth. And the truth is not something man searches for and discovers on his own. Saul of Tarsus was not looking for the truth that day on the Damascus Road. He was defending his religion, his false doctrine, searching for Christians to persecute because they preached Jesus of Nazareth. But God revealed Christ to Saul, and anyone who reads of Saul's conversion in the 9th chapter of Acts, I invite you to read there sometime, and that you should be able to see that salvation is by the power of God. Saul was not given a choice, nor did he have to cooperate with God in his conversion. When God revealed Christ that day, Saul knew the power of God. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul speaks of the coming of the man of sin. He says, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved." Paul says there are those who hear the truth but don't love it. He says they haven't received the love of the truth. Love of the truth is God-given. Natural man cannot and will not love the truth. Jesus tells us why in John 3, 19 and 20. And this is scripture. "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Natural man cannot love the truth because the truth is light, and man loves darkness rather than light because his deeds are evil. Then in verse 21, Jesus says, "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The one who comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, comes because his deeds are wrought in God. His deeds are created in God, produced by God. Paul said in Philippians 2 and 13, "For it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure." But what happens to those who continue to believe a lie? Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2, 11 and 12, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Those who love darkness and lies will be allowed to continue in them." In fact, God will send them strong delusion. Isn't that what Jesus did when he began preaching and teaching in parables? In Mark 4, the disciples asked Jesus why he spoke in parables. He answered in verses 11 and 12, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them that are without, these things," did you hear what he said? "But to them that are without, these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them." Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." The gospel was hid from those like the Pharisees who believed in their own righteousness, their doctrines, and their traditions. Paul explains that the God of this world, and that's Satan, brothers and sisters, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Jesus told the Pharisees in John 8, 43 through 47, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Did you hear what Jesus said? He that is of God heareth God's words. Jesus told the Pharisees, "Ye hear them not, because ye are not of God." Jesus said in John 10 and 16, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Paul told the church at Rome in Romans 1 and 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The gospel of Christ is the truth. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. But as we saw in Jesus' explanation to the disciples about speaking in parables, it is not given to everyone to know the truth. Now just remember, Jesus told the disciples, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them that are without, these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them." Jesus also said, "He that is of God heareth God's words." Heareth God's words. He told the Pharisees, "Ye heareth them not, because ye are not of God." You think we don't have Pharisees today, but brothers and sisters, you need to look around you. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. It has the power to save all those God intends to save. If it cannot save one man God intends to save, then it has no power. If God has to beg sinners to be saved, and sinners have the ability to turn him away time after time, then it is a God who has no power to save. You listen to me now. That is a truth. Jesus said of Satan, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. That's what Jesus said of Satan. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So what is Satan's biggest lie today? What's his biggest lie being told today in the religious society? That a holy, sovereign, almighty God needs man's permission to save him? Why would God entrust the most important decision of a man's life to man himself who is blind and can't even find his own way to the light. Why is it so easy for us to see the truth in the case of the Pharisees and not see it in our own generation? Those who are lost like the Pharisees, no matter how much scripture they know, cannot hear or see the truth unless God sheds his light upon them. God is truth and his word is truth. Since that day in the garden when Satan tempted Eve, he's been attacking the truth with the same old tactics. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We are aware of Satan's devices. He rarely changes his tactics of attacking the truth. He questions the truth God has revealed. Remember how Satan convinces Eve to question God. He asked, did God really say, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Remember how Satan contradicts what God has said. He tells Eve, you shall not surely die. Remember how Satan concocted an alternate version of the truth. He tells Eve, God knows that in the day you eat the fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. That all sounded good to Eve. It sounded good to Eve, but it was a lie. Satan is still doing the same thing today. Satan is still questioning the truth. The truth is revealed, that is being revealed, contradicting that truth and concocting an alternate version of the truth. No matter how many times the scripture says, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Satan is still saying, salvation is of the free will of man. No matter how many times the scripture says, God chose his elect before the foundation of the world, and that's what the scripture says, Satan is still saying, man can choose God whenever he gets ready to. No matter how many times the scripture says Christ came to save his people, Satan is still saying Christ died to save everyone. No matter how many times the scripture says God's will cannot be resisted, Satan is still saying God cannot force himself on man against his free will. Did you know that everything God has done has been against? Listen to me now. You listen to me close. Did you know that everything God has done has been against man's will? It was against man's will that God commanded him not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the good and evil. It was against man's will that God threw him out of the garden when he disobeyed and made him work by the sweat of his brow. It was against man's will that God destroyed the earth by flood. It was against man's will that God confounded the languages so man couldn't communicate and complete the Tower of Babel. It was against man's will that God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. Everything God has done has been against man's will. God is a spirit, and his nature and will are perfect. They are truth. Man is flesh, and his nature and will are imperfect. If man had been created perfect, he wouldn't have disobeyed God and eaten of the tree, and we wouldn't be in the mess we're in today. An all-knowing, all-wise God knows better than to trust decisions concerning eternity to such a miserable, wretched, fallen creature as man. Let's consider for a moment the real truth about free will. There is no will that is truly free except God's will. With man, free will is impossible. God created the universe and it works like clockwork. The sun rises and sets. The seasons change. Gravity dictates that everything that goes up must come down. Every effect has a cause behind it. Every decision you make has a cause. It isn't really your free will. You say you have the free will to choose what you wear each day, but there is a cause behind what you choose that takes the freedom from your will. You choose an outfit because someone complimented you on it the last time you wore it, or because you liked the looks of it in a magazine, it looked better on somebody else, or because you like the way it fits, or because someone you love likes it. These factors negate your free will. These outside factors cause you to make the decision, not your free will. That's the way it is with every decision you make. If there is some underlying cause for the decision, then it is not really your free will. In every decision you make, you are influenced by outside forces. You make choices because of the way you were raised, or because of what your friends think, or because it feels good. All of these influences which affect your choices mean that it is not your free will. It is some outside influence that is directing you. If something caused you to make a choice, then the result is not free. from outside influence and therefore is not free will. Most people just don't understand the concept of free will. This is why so many defend this false doctrine. I said this false doctrine. So there is really no such thing as free will. No man's will is totally free. It is always, always influenced by outside factors. Now, let's consider something else about the doctrine of free will. The doctrine of man's free will makes Jesus out to be a liar and a failure. This is the sad part of what it does. In John 6:37, Jesus said, "All the Father giveth me shall come to me." Well, if some refuse to come, then Jesus is lied. He said all would come, not just some. And besides that, he is a failure if he can't finish the work the Father gave him, and that is to seek and save all the lost sheep. If he cannot save all the Father gave him, then something's wrong. He's lied. He's not the Savior that we proclaim. If man can choose to follow or not follow, and since not following results in damnation, then free will salvation would mean that Jesus was unable to carry out his commission from the Father. Also, it would mean that the will of man is superior to that of Almighty God. Neither of these conditions are true. The truth is that Jesus is able to carry out successfully to the last detail the work his Father gave him to do, and God's will is superior to man's will. The lie of man's free will that has overcome the truth in many of our churches has spilled out into all aspects of our society. It's all about man. Man's will is supreme in our society. His God is self. In the first chapter of Romans, Paul talks about God's wrath against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Paul tells us how God has revealed himself in creation so that man is without excuse. Every man has within him the knowledge that there is a creator God. Paul says that man has changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. That's what we're doing. Man worships self. He justifies lying to get ahead in his job. He justifies stealing from his employer. He justifies lying to his family about working late when he is having an affair with his secretary. He justifies cheating on his income tax. He justifies giving false information on insurance claims. If the common man is so corrupt, then why are we surprised when our leaders are corrupt on such a grand scale? There is no trust in government anymore because we finally see how we have been lied to for decades. The origin of truth is not man. Just removing men from government and replacing them with other men will not solve the problem. The replacements must be God-fearing, truth-loving men and women, or nothing will change. I'm telling you that today, and that is a truth. Just as truth in government must replace corruption, truth in our churches must replace false doctrine. After all, it is the false doctrine of man's free will that has elevated man to a position of self-worship in the first place. If it is man, not God, who is in control of his own salvation, how important does that make man? If man can convince other men to accept God, a feat they say that God can't even do without man's help, then how important does that make man? The problem with the false doctrine of man's free will is that it elevates and glorifies man rather than God. Here's the truth. Man cannot convince a deaf, dumb, blind man to be saved because he can't communicate with that man. Man cannot convince a retarded man who understands nothing to be saved. Man cannot convince a dying toddler to be saved. What man says is that God takes care of those in such circumstances. Well, if God can save a deaf, dumb, blind man, if God can save a retarded man, if God can save a dying child who isn't old enough to know or understand what man says about God, then God can save all those he has purposed to save. The Apostle John says in John 1:13 that God's children were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Man must recognize that there is no truth apart from God and his holy word, that God has all power and does not relinquish any of it to man, and that God will do his will in the armies of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say, what dost thou? Dear child of God, I implore you to search out the truth in the Scriptures, apply that truth to your daily life, and worship and serve the God of heaven, who alone is responsible for your salvation.